System Install Working Group on the Extended Process Similarity Review Panel EPSRP Guidelines Review. And we are meeting here after a call which we had not so long ago. And we have done some work since the working group was established in the last quarter of 2015. And the purpose of this working group is to review the guidelines of the Extended Process Similarity Review Panel for the IDN ccTLD fast track process. And the purpose of this working group was to review the guidelines in light of the resolution that the ICANN board took at the end of the Buenos Aires meeting in June 2015. And the resolution was empowering the CCNSO together with other organizations and constituencies to set up a working group to review those guidelines to make sure that the people in this panel, these linguist experts, are given some sort of direction how to manage certain situations when some let's say requested extensions, they are found to be confusingly similar with the other ISO 3166 codes in the capital version, in the capital, in the way when they're written in capital letters, but not when they're written in lowercase letters. And so it's a quite complex area, I must say, and that probably explains the huge crowd we have today in this room, because it's showing massive interest. But I believe the people who are here are the brave people who have accepted to be in this working group and try to find a solution to help this panel in interpreting correctly and coming up with a final decision for sort of hybrid cases. So just to recap the work that has been done so far, we have established this working group, as I said, in the last quarter of 2015. The working group has a charter which has been approved, and the working group started to review the guidelines, and there were already some findings, and the findings were relating to some inconsistencies between the guidelines and the IDN fast track implementation plan, which is let's say hierarchically the document that is above the guidelines. And then the working group, some members of the working group agreed that there is also some sort of inconsistency between the way string similarity is assessed in the ccTLD IDN environment and the way it is assessed in the gTLD environment. And also the some members of the panel, they highlighted the importance of sticking to the ICANN board resolution, which I would like to read so that we are all on the same page. So this resolution of June 2015 says that the ICANN board of directors requested the CCNSO, in consultation with other stakeholders, including the GAC and SSAC, to provide further guidance and on a refinement of the methodology of second string similarity review process, including the interpretation of its split recommendations to be applied to the relevant current and subsequent cases in the IDN ccTLD fast track process, as well as to inform the proposed policy for the selection of the IDN ccTLD strings. So this is the resolution of the board, and I believe there was an agreement among the working group members that as we have found other elements that are worth to bring to the attention both of the council and eventually of the board, that we limit our work to amend the guidelines and then everything that is not falling into the guidelines amendment should be eventually sent as a sort of recommendation for future work. But at this stage, we just work on the amendment of the guidelines. And having said that, I would like to have a quick tour de table so that we are all recorded, the participants, and then we may start and open a discussion regarding the way forward after what we have done and after what has been circulated on the EPSRP main list. So I would like to start from Manal.
Manal Ismail, Egypt GAC representative and has been involved in the IDN's fast track. Thank you.
Wafed Hemani, .an registry, Tunisia.
My name is Hirohota for .jp, CCTLD.
Sarmad Hussain with IDN program at ICANN. Carsten Schiefner, .de, I'm just listening in.
Giovanni Seppia, URI.eu, and I'm the chairman of this working group.
Emily Taylor, I'm a consultant, and I've been helping out on this, too.
Bart Boswinkel, CCN is our secretariat.
So, thank you again, everybody. And again, it's an extremely technical and also extremely procedural method which we are discussing today. I'd like to open a discussion and listen to your views on the first point, which is do we all agree that we should leave considerations that are in between the implementation plan and those guidelines aside, so we may put forward some recommendation to the CCNSO Council, to the board, but you know, at present our work is focusing on amending the guidelines. So certain considerations like is this panel the final panel, so there is no further appeal panel, or we all acknowledge that there is an inconsistency between the string similarity review in the CCTLD space and the GTLD space. All these stays aside, and then we focus on the guidelines. Here.
May I understand that you're saying that the panel is just looking at the string similarity, string visual similarity. Is it correct?
Yeah, that is correct. They have the guidelines are quite clear at some point to respect to that point. At the same time, the guidelines may need some sort of extra clarification for other points, but it's true that the panel is looking at the visual similarity. This is the mandate of the panel, looking at the visual similarity without looking at the context, because this was one of the points that were raised. But again, there was also one point that was discussed on the mailing list, and I believe there was a sort of agreement also that we stick to the current way the guidelines have been implemented, and we aim to have them clarified. Please.
Yes, here again. Then I agree to the framework of our work. Thank you.
Why not?
Thanks, Giovanni. I also agree to the way you described our scope of work, but I believe we should also document our assumptions or provide our recommendations, what exactly should be looked at elsewhere or should be considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Manal. Thank you. Sarmat, would you like to say?
I generally agree with what you say.
Thank you. So I don't know if you have time. I'm looking at the brave working group members to go through the latest version, which, if I remember correctly, I sent around the 20th of February, something like that, of the guidelines. And if you have any comment on this version of the guidelines. So the most of the let's say the most of the we call edits and changes they are relating to the guidance for interpretation of the criteria for confusingly similarity section of the guidelines, and especially the application of the criteria for confusingly similarity. And I would like to hear your views against the text that has been slightly refined in the guidelines. We can read it together if that makes things easier. Okay. So, Manal, you want to?
No, I just was going to confess that I didn't have the time because
we're all busy.
Everyone was silent.
We're all busy, and I'm the first one to acknowledge that, you know.
Yeah, so
it's not really a bad time reading.
Okay,
and,
so yeah, if we have the time
reading,
and can go one by one.
Because I don't think you want to read this on a plane, you never know what happens. So
this
could be your last reading, and I think there are better readings on a plane. So this is what I said, honestly, this is what I said to myself when I was reading this on a plane. I said, no, Giovanni, stop doing that because, you never know. So, okay, so I'm reading. This is on page two, and on page two I'm reading this clean version. So guidance for interpretation of the criteria for confusing and similarity. This is the section. Yeah. Okay, I'll address it later.
Yeah.
So. You have the document. I circulated it. Sorry. Can you use the mic? In fact, Bart, do you mind to you have it to resend it? Okay. Thank you.
You want a clean version of it?
I would suggest the clean version. Then we. Okay. Okay. You have the clean version.
No, you didn't send a clean version.
That's strange.
If that's your email from the 22nd.
So yeah.
If it's your email from the 22nd, it included only one, and that was the red line.
Okay. That's strange.
And you have some comments in the sideline, so I don't know whether I will. I can clean it up, but these comments will not go, and it's
okay,
going to be very small.
Let's do the one with the track changes.
Yeah. Let's see if I can upload it. Come on. Kim, could you make me host of this one? The Adobe room. Just bear with me for a few seconds. Thank you. that's the wrong one. What have I done? Yes. Kim, if I would send it to you, could you upload it? Yeah, that's the end of the document. I need to log in again. Just a minute. You can buy a cup of coffee or something in the meantime. Myself out of the Adobe room, that's the issue. Maybe as this is going, one of the, say, on not the last call, but the call before, I was tasked to look at, say, codes within the ISO 3166 with special status. In the meantime, I've contacted Jaap Akkerhuis in his capacity as a member of the maintenance agency, and he sent me an overview. And although, say, there are different codes who are specially assigned, it is not definite in the sense of, like, for example, there is a reserve list which includes the codes that which have been taken away. There is, in principle, a 50-year, they are reserved for 50 years, but still there is a caveat in the rules of the MA that they can be assigned intermediately. So what I'll do is I'll send you the email of what I've received from Jaap with the rules of the from the ISO 3166 MA. So you can have a look, because that was a potential track to limit the set of confusion similarity, although that's a bit out of scope, but maybe it goes back to what you just discussed on the, not the guidelines itself, but the scope of confusing similarity stuff, but that it's a response to that task. In the meantime, I'm in again. I want to stop sharing and go for another document. This should be good. Here we are. And maybe I can increase the size a bit.
Okay.
Here I am.
Our hero. So, can we go on page two? Because page one is
right. Can we go to page two? Because page one was almost clean, let's say. So, I would like to read together this part. So, he's saying the overarching principle is to preserve and ensure the security, stability, and interoperability of the DNS. The EPSRP role is to seek to prevent systemic user confusion arising from be applied for string. And then there was this proposed addition that says, as the final stage of the IDN CCTLD fast track process, the EPSRP should take into consideration all factors and documentation relating to the application before submitting its final decision. So if we stick to the visual similarity, I think that has to go, because we should stick to the original text. So this is, Manal, please.
Yes, I fully agree. If the scope of this work is going to be the visual similarity only, as we agreed, then this text has to go. But again, I believe that this has to be within the final step, whether it is the ES, whatever the acronym is, or at a higher level. But I mean, the very final decisions should take into consideration all other factors other than the only the visual similarity, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. Absolutely. And then the following paragraph I'm reading. In any environment, criminal activity or unfair competition may occur. And then there was this text saying, the relevant question for the EPSRP is whether it is necessary to prevent the applied for string from delegation in order to avoid potential harm to users, or whether intervention at the level of individual domain names, for example, by individual policies as envisioned in the implementation plan, would be effective. Do you have any opinion, any view on this? Hiro?
Yes, as I wrote in my mail, I couldn't understand the intervention at the level of individual domain names. Is this the second level domain names?
Yeah,
I think I can try to help out on that. I think that that's the intent of the draft language, yes. It's to say we should try to be intervening at the least wide level possible, if you see what I mean. So if you could see that certain strings at the second level might cause confusion, then you can put into place policies like, for example, single alphabet policies or homoglyph bundling policies or so on and so forth, in order to try to mitigate the possibility of confusion at the level of the second level domains and above. But if you could do that, then it doesn't mean that the whole TLD needs to be affected. Do you see what I mean? It's to try to get a hierarchy of where you would make interventions. I can see that everyone's puzzled on that.
Sarmad. Sarmad here. So then are we again not going beyond the string similarity scope which we were discussing in the previous paragraph?
If I could, it may well be. I think that the source of this is really to try to fold in better language in the implementation plan. I think it's at the 5.6.3 level, which talks about it's the famous wording that was, you know, if it's the same registry, if it's got various rules, and that was clearly the intent of the community at that stage, whenever it was, several years ago, to have that floating around as part of the thinking when viewing it. So yes, I think it could well be wider than pure visual similarity, but equally it is reflecting wording within the implementation plan.
May I try to translate what you were saying?
Yeah.
is, say, if say one of the things, going back to the example you've used, is that was the case where initially the first panel found there was string similarity, but only with a string related or designating the same country or assigned to the same country. In that circumstance, there were mitigating factors that the delegation or the, not, the string could still be allowed, because if the registry of the two entities would be the same and it would stay the same, then the issue of string similarity would have been, is very limited, because it's only confusingly similar with itself. And what you, that was the example that was introduced as a result of the overall policy and then included in the implementation plan. The direction of travel you're taking right now is saying, okay, there may be string confusion. It is established in this case, but there are mitigating circumstances even under these conditions, say where there is, for example, only string similarity with in capital letters. If the applicant takes mitigating measures, like allowing only certain strings or disallowing confusing similarity, similar characters at the second level, then that would be a case that would mitigate the risk, or and that would not mitigate the risk of around security, etc., and therefore should be allowed. That's the direction of travel.
That's what I'm attempting to say, Bart. Thank you. I think that it's really trying to get up to this overarching principle is what are we here for? We're here looking at visual similarity in order to avoid confusion. If in fact confusion cannot occur, we've identified that in this case, this confusion could occur, but because of the situation you've described, which is set out in the implementation plan, where it is effectively the same body, or there might be some rules in place, then we look at those. It might well be that this paragraph could be clearer if we simply refer to the implementation plan in that, because that's all it's intending to do. It's saying to the EPSRP, remember that bit of the implementation plan.
Just going down that path, say if you, and this is where it becomes mixed, in the case of, say, where there is two strings, where you have similar confusability with itself. The first step, and that's the only role of the EPRSP, is to identify whether or not there is string similarity. One of the reasons why the panel needs to identify with which strings there is confusing similarity is to ensure that if in the case it's only similarly confused with itself, then you go into that direction of path. And what you're saying, if I understand it, first you need to identify there is string similarity, but in the case the applicant either contractual whatever way, but at least will implement certain measures, then still, based on the policy, it should be allowed. Because in order to take that step to go to the mitigating factors, you still need to identify whether there is string similarity or not. And that's the only role of the EPRSP. So in a way, you're stepping out of bounds of say, what you just discussed and what that was Hero's question. But again, it could be a recommendation, an additional recommendation, please consider this, either through the decisions of council or change the policy or whatever.
Yeah, if it's, and I think this is coming back to Manal's point, if it's not the EPSRP, and it doesn't have to be, because the EPSRP could be just going, robotically, yes, no, yes, no, and then they present that finding. So who then looks at the mitigating factors and the other things in the implementation plan at the moment? How is that brought in?
effectively, that is, again, robotic as well. That's why you need, the only thing you can say, and that's going to be an implementation side, okay, we've identified its there is string similarity. The applicant is willing and commits to implement mitigating measures, and then it's and these mitigating measures need to be defined if they in these cases, and if that's the case, then it's almost robotic that say the next phase would be that ICANN staff who's responsible just documents it and then goes back and say you met the criteria. It's like with it's a bit like what's happening right now with the case you just said. If there is confusingly similarity with itself, then there is a commitment of the registry that it will never be taken apart. And that's you move into a similar kind of situation. So that's an ICANN staff responsibility, as far as I can tell. Yeah.
I had Manal and then Hiro.
Actually, I was going to say, like Emily said, that this fits with what we've said before. But again, I do understand what Bart said, but I don't understand where is it going to happen. I mean, the panel or the, I have to say that the most challenging thing is the name, the acronym of the group. But yeah. So if the scope is just visual similarity and it's going to come up with a binary decision whether this there is visual similarity or not, but then other factors like if they are going to be delegated to the same registry, if the registry commits to some bundling or some mitigation, they don't. So who looks at the overall and takes then the right decision?
Maybe it's a good thing and may make it visual how the process is really run. I can describe it, but I'll do it in my clumsy way. So you got an application. It goes through a set of tests as far as, and Samer, please correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not really involved anymore. It goes through a set of steps, and then at one point there is the initial or the first string similarity test. And that's done by the technical committee. That first test comes back with either it considers the string to be confusing similar or it doesn't. If it goes back with the assessment, it is considered string there is string similarity, then the applicant can go to the extended or the second panel for this test. That was the result of, say, the overall policy and the experience, etc. In that sense, it's a second test based on a different methodology, and again, this panel comes back with its findings, whether it considers or the string is considered to be confusing, similar or not. Then that consideration goes back into the process, and then it's handled further. If it's considered confusing, similar, on all accounts, then that's the end of it. That's the end of the application process. That's the way it's currently written within the implementation plan as the end the result, for example, of the overall policy, but also of the fast track process as was designed by the community.
I'm sorry, just a very last question on the same part again. So the decision of the second panel is final and announced, or does it go elsewhere? And
that one is made public at the request of the report is made public at the time at the request of the CCNSO and the GAC. But in that sense, it's final. Yes.
So, if this is the case, then this is where, again, we should be looking into all other factors, so the final decision is not just restricted to visual similarity.
Salman?
Yes, that would be then going back to the fast track process and updating the process. That's again, that's a higher level document because the process EPSRP itself, the way it was defined was purely a string similarity review and not a broader review.
Just a point to clarify, really. In the, let's leave aside any suggested changes, but in the format that has been, at what point do these other factors get taken into account? You say that's from the staff point of view.
It's, again...
So you say, because if there's a failure, then that's the end of the process.
But if it's a failure in the sense of, and this goes back to the way it designed, if you would look into the implementation plan itself, the way it was set up is you go through the steps, and then there is this conclusion by, say, by the EPRSP, or it could be somebody else, doesn't matter, or the first panel. And then the implementation plan describes the situation, what you just mentioned or what I mentioned as well, in case the string is only confusingly similar with the two letter codes of the same country, then this measure will take place. And that's defined in the implementation plan. So therefore, staff executes it. So you need to first establish whether there is string similarity. And then only a subset of cases where there is string similarity, there is a way forward. If there is no way forward, then the process stops. It's a bit like a decision tree. Yeah, I can draft it, but...
That's really helpful. I guess it involves staff in a substantive evaluation about whether or, you know, looking at particular rules and policies and whether or not they're adequate, does it or not?
No, it doesn't. It states a set of cases. That's the only thing, and these are defined externally. If that's why there is a necessity to identify the strings with which an applied for string is similar.
Salma, thank you. So staff is just executing the process. There is no judgment involved from staff, and in that sense, it is using input from the evaluation panels and just executing the steps.
Yeah, just for the sake of clarity, because I've been involved in this with Iro since the early years, so it's now we are now celebrating almost 8 years in this. According to the implementation plan and the extra rule regarding possibly confusing similarity with the string in ASCII was inserted in one of the various iterations of the implementation plan review process. So in that respect, if the DNS stability panel, which is an essential component of the assessment of the string, the IDN string when the IDN string is submitted. So there is an administrative evaluation, and there is also a technical, let's call it like that, evaluation. And this technical evaluation, if in that moment, out of the DNS stability panel, the conclusion is that the string is identical to the ASCII string of the applicant, in that case, there is the rule that was inserted in the process, I think was in 2010. I think it was 2012 when there was the first big change in the implementation plan that says that in that moment, the ICANN staff can request the applicant to submit a series of policies and to make sure that they are enforced. So in that case, I think the ICANN staff is not only looking at the process, but is also making sure that the applicant
fulfills a series of criteria to mitigate possible issues. So this is the, you know, for the sake of completeness of information.
Yes, in that particular case.
Manal.
I'm sorry again to keep coming back to the same point. So maybe my question now is, are those other factors other than the visual similarity in the current process, are those taken care of at the first panel, or they are not taken care of or not considered?
The first panel looks at the string itself and not policy or any extra information which is submitted, including the IDN tables. They don't look at that.
So as far as I understand now, the first panel looks strictly into visual similarity, and then again the second panel will be looking strictly into...
Yeah, so the first panel, the DNS stability panel, with all respect to the people who are in this panel, has no competence in visual similarity. So they are just looking at the visual similarity, like any one of us can look at the at the string similarity, because the people who are sitting in this panel, they're not linguist expert. The reason why the second panel, the EPSRP, and honestly, I wrote it on my hand before learning so well. So the reason why, the way how the EPSRP, they look is also visual similarity, but with the sort of scientific technical eye, because those are supposed to be linguist experts and they are selected by ACAN from a sort of a group of linguist experts. So while the first one assesses on DNS, string similarity with a non-expert view, the second one should bring into the plan the expert eye, let's say. Yes.
So probably now we're saying that there are factors other than visual similarity that matters, and trying to figure out where exactly should those be considered, right? Or
Bart?
The way I've interpreted what Emily said was, there may be situations where there is the whichever panel has identified string similarity, and that's considered a risk, whether it's the first panel or the second panel, doesn't matter effectively. But like with when the strings are similar and run by the same registry for the same country, there may be mitigating measures to mitigate the risk around security, etc. And in those cases, then a similar kind of process should be inserted, as in the case of the string similarity for the two strings that are run by the same entity. And it should not be taken into account by either the first or the second panel. It's only when they've noted or identified string similarity, then there is still the ability to move forward in case you meet these additional or implement these mitigating measures.
So the second panel may say that there is visual similarity, but again, somewhere in the process, those mitigation factors are being considered, and still the string can go through. So again,
I wasn't really suggesting anything. Actually, I was just asking where it happens, because there are these criteria that seem to be intended to be part of this, process, and it was just not clear to me. I had imagined that it was the EPSRP who would then kind of, they go through your decision tree, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Now, do any mitigation factors apply, yes, no? So my question, I wasn't really making a proposal, my question was, when do those get taken into account? I think this is where Manal's coming from as well. And the answer is, staff do it.
These mitigating factors, as we just discussed, around if not in the case, say, in additional cases where the registry is willing to implement measures, as you said, as you suggested, they are not taken into account because they're not part of the whole assessment. The only case, the exception, in case a string is considered confusingly similar is when the string is considered confusing similar with itself. Then this happens. All other cases of string confusion, that's the end of the process up to now. So in...
It's just the then this happens bit that I just still don't understand. But it's then this happens because I don't understand how it would happen, because the output from the EPSRP would look the same, wouldn't it? It would be fail. Or yes. The output in both of those scenarios would look the same from the EPSRP. It would be finding a visual similarity. And then it's just not clear to me how those bits, the mitigation factors, we'll call them,
yeah,
get taken into account in what process, if it isn't.
In the application process itself. So you have, let's try to do it differently. You have the application process. Part of it is, and I think that's the first phase, is some of the assessment is by the DNS stability panel. There, the result of the DNS stability panel is fed back into the application process, and it's a go, no go. And there is a bit no go. There is the situation where strings are considered confusingly similar with itself. Then that's again, if the applicant meets certain or is willing to commit to certain mitigating factors, call it simply, like committing not to, or commit them to run both strings at the same time, so there is no separation, then it goes through in the application process. Does that make it clearer? Yeah, I'm trying to describe a picture.
Manal.
You kindly offered, yeah, to maybe draw the decision tree,
yeah,
or so I think this would be helpful, and we can then have things in writing and be able to comment easier or even understand, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that my personal point of view is that that would be indeed helpful, but I think, again, the main scope of this working group is to focus on these guidelines and that, sort of drawing of BART will be something to help eventually the community, all the community, understand the process, the flow in the process. But I don't think it will help us to improve the guidelines, or at least we'll have a limited help for us. Because, again, here is a matter of understanding if we like the panel just to look at the visual similarity or if to look at the mitigation aspects that may be enforced at some point in the flow. And to the best of my memory and understanding, this panel, according to the implementation plan, has been given the mandate to look at the string similarity and not to assess side elements that may mitigate the string similarity. So here.
Yes, I understand and I agree with that. But the first, the panel just looks at the string similarity. It's good. But the what is the input to the panel? Just the string or the string plus something like the intervention policy or something? Just a string? That's the question.
Yes, I guess the input is the string, and also the set of strings against which the confusion has to be determined, which includes a particular list of items. For example, existing TLDs, TLDs which are applied for are in the process, and two-letter, the ASCII two-letter codes. So basically input to the panel is a list of strings and applied for string to make that comparison.
Thank you, Salman. Emily?
Just, this is very helpful. So is really the thrust, you know, bearing in mind the scope that we all agreed to, would it be better to just delete that entire paragraph then and to take it out of contention? And also perhaps to delete the highlighted wording in the previous paragraph, because it's at odds with the reality of what they're actually asked to consider, which is simply the string and various lists of TLDs. So that would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I agree with this suggestion. Can I just ask, because we were given 1 hour for this meeting, and I would like to understand if the room is occupied by another meeting after this meeting? No? Okay.
Yeah. We can stay and somebody back.
So we can stay until midnight. Okay, good. Okay.
More useful to say reconvene in 2 or 3 weeks. Now we have all these elements again, because I sense there is a bit of confusion, and Samat and I can do say explain this part of it. So, and because there is this sense of at least from my end that we skipping among each other, so we take a lot of time to get a clear picture of what we're really doing, literally and figuratively speaking.
I agree. If possible, and using the next 10 minutes, I would like really to read together page 2, which is the one with the heaviest, by Salman, thank you, the heaviest bulk of comments, because it's the, let's say, most sensitive. So at least those of us who are in this room and who have happened also to have been among the most proactive members in this working group, we can have our opinion, first opinion on the next lines of this page. So we have agreed that we will delete the second part of that upper paragraph. And then if I continue to read, in applying the criteria for confusingly similarity, paragraph 5.5 of the implementation plan, the EPSRP shall, and then it's stated here, take into account that when comparing the string with entries in the two ISO 646 basic version, ISO 646 dash BV characters. In the CCTLD environment, two-letter country codes which are similar to one another already coexist without apparently causing user confusion. And then there are a couple of examples. In the event that confusing similarity is found with a string from the ISO 646 basic version ISO 6460-BV characters letter AZ, quotes, whether or not the other string is likely to become a CCTLD in the foreseeable future. So this was a sort of proposed text. Is there any view on this proposed text? Bart?
I think the now I'm wearing a bit of the ISO 3166, and that's why I asked Jaap, what is and what it will not be a CCTLD in the foreseeable future, and also wearing my, say, the RFC 1599, is very difficult to determine. You don't know. Nobody knows. And it could be, and foreseeable future could be 1, 2, 5, 10 year time span. That's the whole issue. Because the ISO 3166 assigns the two letter codes, and there are examples where they assign two letter codes which are not very obvious, like .sx for Saint-Martin. And others. So that makes it very, very difficult to play around with this. Based on this text, I did my, say, I've asked Jaap about the rules of the MA as well. So I will forward you, as I promised at the start of this meeting, that specifically looks at this text.
Okay. Emily, you wanted to say something?
I was just recalling one of the comments I think Hero made in the process was to say, well, why not just look at existing and applied for strings? That was, is that right, Hero? That one of the comments that you had made in the earlier round was to say, well, actually, why look at, you know, having to put into people's mind, will this ever in the future, in some way that we don't understand and can't possibly predict, be a CC or be a TLD. Your proposal, if I understood it correctly, was to say, well, avoid that speculation and look at what exactly exists and is applied for. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. That was my comment.
You could do this for new GTLDs, but not for CCTLDs. That's because what you do then, you start to interfere with the existing policy for the for the delegation of CCTLDs. Because as soon as the ISO 3166 assigns a code to a country or territory, then it's eligible as a CCTLD. And by doing this, by mitigating this, then you turn that round and, in fact, start interfering in that policy.
Okay, so that's really helpful to know. And my question is really, is there any hierarchy? You know, because there is things that are objectively exist or are applied for at the moment, and things where you just don't know what will happen in the future. What sort of, should they have equal weighting? Should they have not equal weighting?
That's what was intended. I think throughout the process is. You can identify the two letter codes because it's a limited set in principle, and that's the two letter combination. Now, if you do some calculations, there are a little bit over 700 combinations possible. That's it. And one of the things, and that's what we looked at, is within the ISO 3166, you have different types of assignments of codes. and unfortunately that's not stable. And there are examples from the past where codes were used and going from one bucket into another and became a ccTLD.
So my question is that, I mean, because you do have this limited set, and it's sort of trying to get back to what the point of the exercise really is. The point of the exercise is to avoid confusion. You see in the current ccTLD environment that there are two-letter codes that are very similar to each other, and, you know, life goes on. So it's just sort of like you can get into this track where you're like, where you end up with a quite a perverse outcome in that something is found to be confusingly similar with something that doesn't currently exist in the namespace and it might not ever.
But that's, put it this way, that's a more fundamental question around confusing similarity. If you have, for example, the in these cases like IT, LV, and LU, etc., these are existing ccTLDs. Now, the question is, should or should not these been assigned based on confusing similarity? There is clearly confusing similarity. Does it occur? Is there any risk occurring in these spaces?
I think it's a different question. I think the question is actually these coexist already, and so why apply to an external body a higher standard of avoiding confusion than it applies to itself? That in the ccTLD environment through the ISO process you get very confusingly similar outcomes.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're avoiding something that the ccTLD, the ISO 3166 environment doesn't seem to be that bothered about.
But don't forget that confusing similarity in the case, say they don't look at it, I don't know, they don't look at it, but these strings are used for all kinds of purposes, not just reading on screens.
Yeah, I think that I understand that Manala is also to go. So I think that there are some sort of macro topics coming up and that are also showing the weakness of certain processes and the inconsistency, which have been underlined even by Sarmad in one email exchange on this EPSRP mailing list. So what I would suggest in the spirit also of drawing this very short working group meeting to a close, because otherwise we end up being two or three people only in the room, and in the spirit of having a broader discussion possibly, is that we'll be waiting for Bart to circulate that response that he had from YAP, and also we'll try to make some refinements in light of what we just said today regarding the external factors. So we will distribute on the mailing list in, let's say, 1 week, 10 days time, a refined text for the EPSRP guidelines, plus another document where this working group will present some sort of recommendation and perspectives on the certain topics that we have somehow investigated and found that they cannot be addressed in this document, but should deserve to be brought to the attention of those who are in charge of making the high-level policies, and that, again, in the ultimate interest of avoiding end-user confusion, which should be, again, the objective of all these exercises. So shall we agree to move forward like that, that in about 10 days we'll circulate, Bart during those 10 days, as soon as he can, we'll send out this email that he has received, and then we will work out a refined version of the guidelines plus a side document where we list all these matters. Manal.
Thank you, Giovanni. Yes, I fully agree, and sorry that I have to go, but the high-level government meeting is ongoing, so... but... Yeah, but again...
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, if there is an opportunity that we can continue the discussion sometime during the week, even formally or informally, I mean, during any of the lunch break, coffee breaks, or anything, again, I'm personally available till the end of the week, but I agree to the way forward you suggested. Thank you so much.
But I can send out an email, say, and check whether there is a room available on Thursday. And who is available to meet again?
Yeah, I'm leaving on Thursday, so eventually, to me, the only chance would be Wednesday. But
thank you, Giovanni.
Thanks you.
Yeah, I agree with your suggestion. Things were confusing today for me, and I need to review my understandings.
thank you, Wafa. So thanks, everybody. This meeting is adjourned, and we'll make sure that we circulate these documents in a timely manner. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.